Today I'm going to be speaking about the significance of the resurrection. The significance of the resurrection. And I'll read one verse to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 12. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? And in this verse and the verses that we read earlier, we read the message that changed the world, the message that Christ is risen from the dead. And this is the true meaning of Easter. Christ is risen. Indeed, he is risen. And most of us know this. Of course we know this. Yet there are still people today who choose to, they don't really want to face the weight and the glory of Christ's resurrection. So they reduce Easter to only Easter eggs and bunnies and nothing else, nothing of true significance, because these things hide the real and the true message of Easter. But Easter's not about these things, and it's about the risen Lord. It's about victory over death. And this is what stands at the very center of our faith. As I mentioned to you, our subject is the significance of the resurrection. Now, the whole human race, that's you and me, we face many problems. There's injustice, there's poverty, and even today in our world, there's many wars. There's war everywhere, several wars raging, even this moment in time. People are suffering. The family breakdown problems. All these things are really, indeed, great problems. But there is one problem that man can never solve. And he has not been able to solve it. No scientist has found a cure. No doctor is able to stop man's one problem. And man's one problem, that unstoppable problem that man faces, that all men face, is the problem of death and the fear of death. And we all know this, of course. No one can avoid it. It comes to all. It comes to the greatest thinkers. No one can escape the path that whether you're a great thinker, whether you're greatly educated, whether you're rich, whether you're poor, you will go eventually, your path will lead to a grave and you will die. But for the believer, there is a resurrection. There are many who refuse to believe this. There are many that say and argue and they say, it's not true. There's no resurrection. When we die, we just finished. It's all over. Well, all through the ages, people have disputed this. And even in Bible days, the resurrection was disputed. Remember when they laid Jesus in the tomb? They sealed the tomb. They posted soldiers to watch. And when they found the tomb empty, what did the leaders of the nation say, the Jewish leaders? They would not acknowledge that there was a resurrection. Rather, they concocted a story that the body of Jesus had been stolen. And the apostles maintained that Christ was risen from the dead, that they had seen him. Yet, if we look at the facts, it was true that death had overcome Christ on the cross and his earthly ministry had ended. Yes, it looked like defeat. Now we have to ask ourselves this question. Did he rise from the dead? or did he stay in the tomb? If Christ is still in the tomb, this is what the apostle is saying in these verses, then what? If he's still in the tomb, then what? And if he is risen, then what? So if Christ is not risen, says the Apostle Paul, he's showing that as we read verse 12, now if Christ is preached that he has been risen from the dead, how do some of you say that there is no resurrection from the dead? And these that say that there's no resurrection from the dead, they say that Christ is not risen. They say that Christ is not alive. And if they are right, there's such repercussions. The whole Bible is not true. The whole Bible is a lie. The testimony of our Lord and Savior himself is a lie, because he foretold his death in Luke 18 and verse 33, and they shall scourge him and put him to death, and on the third day he will rise again. And we know that Jesus said, I'm just laying a foundation, Jesus said, destroy this temple, destroy this body, and in 3 days it will rise up. And Jesus said to Mary, I am the resurrection and the life. So if there was no resurrection, then Jesus was a liar. And we know that not one of his words is false. We know that he cannot lie. And if there is no resurrection, then the whole Bible is vanity. Do you know that hundreds and hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus was crucified, it was prophesied? The Bible is so interconnected. It's so one scripture depends on another scripture. And if there is just one lie, the whole Bible will come tumbling down like a pack of cards or like dominoes in a row. But the Bible is true. If there's just one lie, but we know that the Word of God is true and not a lie, and we know that in God there is no lie, there is no falsehood. So really what Paul is saying here, he's not saying there is no resurrection. He's showing us how foolish it is to say that there is no resurrection. He carries on these verses, this discourse. If Christ was not risen, then the disciples were completely deceived, because this was the main message of Peter and John. It was their main preaching. What did they preach? They preached the risen Christ. Jesus Christ is alive. This message is the message that disturbed and angered the council, the Jewish council, the leaders of the Jews, when they preached Christ is risen from the dead. And it was because of this very message that they preached that hands were laid upon them and they were arrested and brought before the council, and they were told not to preach in the name of the Lord Jesus anymore. And they were asked, who gave you authority to preach these things? Peter, now he's no longer afraid. He opens his mouth and he's filled with the Holy Ghost, and he boldly preaches. He boldly speaks to these, to this council, who previously he was so afraid of. Just think of the disciples before the resurrection, when Christ was in the garden and arrested. The disciples ran away. They fled for their lives. And at the crucifixion, they were the most miserable men. They were hiding in shame from their countrymen. But suddenly they are made into and they've become men overflowing with joy and boldness and courage. The council had threatened them not to preach anymore. What was their answer? No more fear. This is what they said. Whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you decide. Oh, there's no fear in that. They are bold. And what made them so bold? What had happened in their life? They had seen the Lord. They had seen the risen one from the tomb. They had prayed to God with one accord, and they had asked for boldness, and they were filled with great boldness. Great grace was upon them all. And they held not their lives dear unto themselves. See, such a change. Before, they were running away to save their lives. Now, they are not holding their lives dear unto themselves. Many of them, of the disciples in Bible days, were thrown to the hungry lions. Later in the ages, many were burned at the stake. They boldly challenged the heathen that were persecuting them. Where did this strength come from if Christ was not risen? Where did they get this courage if there was no risen Christ? It carries on even more. It says that if Christ didn't rise, then the Christian church is built with no foundation. I'm sure every one of us knows a little bit about building. There has to be a foundation. There has to be a foundation. And if there was no empty grave on the third day, then the emptiest thing on the whole earth is Christianity. It would be without a foundation. But Christianity has stood through the ages. Christianity has stood through persecution. Christianity is still alive today. There is no greater foundation than Christ, the solid rock on which we stand. Indeed, he is risen. And Paul says again, he says, if Christ is not risen, then my preaching is in vain. It's all lies. It's deception. Our preaching is empty. Our faith is empty. Our assurance of being justified in the light, our peace in our hearts is non-existent. Our peace in our minds, we don't have peace. Our answered prayers, we wouldn't have any answered prayer if there was no resurrection. We'd have no fellowship with the Lord if there was no resurrection. We'd have no eternal hope. Life would be just in vain. We couldn't even pray. We couldn't even pray. As I mentioned, it's by Christ's merit. It's by Christ's merit that we have access to the throne of grace. Well, how is it possible, if there is no resurrection, that some people can die without any fear of death at all? Why do some people, when they die, they have hope and they have peace and they're not afraid at all? And just this week, my wife and I downloaded a book, an audio book on Mrs. Spurgeon, the life of Mrs. Spurgeon. It's free on internet if any of you want to listen to it. It's a wonderful, inspirational book. And with awe, listened to the life of this lady. And it ended in such a dramatic way. And I'll read it to you. As she approached the end of her life in October 1903, her final words expressed her faith with striking clarity. With her face radiant, She clasped her hands together and she exclaimed, "Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, I can see the King of Glory." Oh, what a wonderful way to go. But also, friends, if Christ is not risen, how could have the disciples have died for what they knew to be a lie? No, nobody is willing to give their life for falsehood. But all the disciples died except John, a terrible martyr's death, a cruel martyr's death. If there was no resurrection, we'd have no living hope. In this life, if it was just this life, that we'd be the most miserable, the most pitiful people. If Christ were not risen, we'd have nothing to rejoice in. And I was mentioning to somebody before the service that, do you know, many years ago, the custom was on Resurrection Sunday, not to say to people good morning or hello. The custom was simply to say, "He is risen." That was the greeting. "He is risen." And the reply was, usually with a shout of joy, "He is risen indeed." And sometimes even with a hallelujah. But, friends, without the resurrection, there would be no reason to shout. No reason, no Savior, no triune God revealed, no King enthroned, no heaven to gain, no hell to warn people of. If the dead do not rise, we could just do what verse 1 Corinthians 15:32 says. We just all be like this. This would be our mentality. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. We would live only for the now, but we do. But now the positive. Now comes the positive. What if Christ is risen? The apostle says in verse 20, "But now is Christ risen." But now is Christ risen. All tragedy is turned into victory. Do you know that if we were to do a survey about the 10 most important chapters in the whole Bible, do you know that 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is amongst the 10 most important chapters in the entire Bible? And I'll tell you why. Because these words remind us of the importance of the resurrection. That the resurrection is not optional. It's not an optional part of our faith. It is the very center of Christianity. What a joyful declaration. Christ is risen. It's like a trumpet sounding a victory, and a trumpet that shakes the foundations of hell, that shakes death and the grave. True light is risen in our hearts. True light has scattered the darkness and brought healing and beauty and glory to our lives in the risen Christ. And this is the good news that Easter has brought. This is the good news that the resurrection has brought. He totally conquered death. Death has been defeated. It no longer has dominion over him. Jesus Christ is the only one who faced death and won the victory. The grave couldn't keep him. He rose again. And death could not hold him. He rose from the dead, never to die again. So Easter is about victory over death gained by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me just say, to have a better and a clearer understanding of just how much this means, how important it is to have victory over death, we need to briefly ask ourselves, where does death come from? Where do we get death from? And what's the cause of death? I'm sure you all know that death came through our first parents, Adam and Eve. And through Adam and Eve, sin came into the world. And through sin, death came to all. Death came to all. And we often think, and we need to realize that death does not come because of sickness. Death does not come because of old age. Death comes as a result of the wages of sin. And that's the reason why all men die, because all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And death, that is the result of sin. And by death, I don't just mean a physical death. Physical death is separation of your soul from your body. But I'm talking about eternal separation from God. That's the death that we would face. Separation from God forever and ever, for eternity. But Christ is risen. He has overcome death. And we can boldly say, O death, where is your sting? Christ is risen. So the good news of Easter is simply this, that he died for our sins. He rose again that we may be declared righteous. He has paid the price in full. And the resurrection is confirmation that the payment has been received, that the payment has been accepted. And Christ's resurrection is the foundation that guarantees our own resurrection. Christ shows that death has truly been defeated, and the victory belongs to all who put their faith in him. Just as death came through one man, so also the resurrection of the dead comes through one man, the Lord Jesus Christ. We all know that. A soul that's separated from God is said to be dead. But a soul that is in union with God is said to be alive. Spiritually alive people are the happiest people on all the earth. And they have the best friend, you see. Jesus Christ is their friend. They have the best promises, the Word of God. They have the greatest treasure, the riches of God's grace. And they have the highest privilege that any person can ever have. They are children of the Most High God. They are crowned with honor. And they have a bright future to look forward to. The disciples that are in union with Christ, the ones who believed, they are transformed people. The benefits of the resurrection are not just for one day when we are going to receive our resurrected bodies. They are already for now on earth. Already there's a transformation that they cause. As I mentioned, Peter, who was so fearful of that maid by the fire, timid, and he denied the Lord. Now, after the resurrection, he's bold, as we saw, even to the Jewish council. Thomas, the doubter, he's transformed by the resurrection. James, the brother of Jesus, he's a skeptic. He did not believe. How did this transformation come to James? In verse 7, we read that the Lord appeared to James. He appeared to him. All these many benefits that, and the list just goes on and on and on, of the people whose lives were changed dramatically by coming to understand the resurrection. To know and walk in resurrection life is the most wonderful gift that we can ever possess. Now we see in the closing verse, we see a people that the apostle speaks of that are steadfast. They are immovable. A people who have stability of character. A people who never let the unbelief of others turn them away from the faith in the gospel. We see a people who are constant in service, abounding in the work of God. They know it's not in vain. They know because the Son is risen in their hearts. The risen Christ in our hearts is the hope of glory. And now I must ask, does Christ reside in your heart? Is he resident? Is he president? Is he resident? Is he president? Is he Lord, in other words? And because if he's not, then sadly, you're not saved. We must grasp this truth. We must grasp this one truth. It's extremely serious that if we die physically while we are still spiritually dead, we will stay in that state forever and ever. The only time we can get saved is now on earth, under heaven, among men. The name of Jesus Christ is available. And we must flee. We must flee from not calling on his name at all costs. We must flee to Christ, and he will raise us up as well. The resurrection ushered in a new age. Darkness passed away. The light of Jesus Christ now shining in our hearts. We have a hope and we have a future. And also we've been given a song, a new song in our hearts, a resurrection song. And the title of that song would be something like this: Death is swallowed up in victory. Christ has utterly defeated the power of sin. So we rejoice. We rejoice, saying, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Our hearts will overflow with this theme. Thanks be to God, who giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Only he could swallow up death in victory. Yes, this marvelous truth that comes to us this Easter, yet it's veiled from some, yet it's veiled from many. But today, if you hear the good news and you see what Christ has done for you, let this message melt your heart. Let this message prick your heart and bow your knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the message of Easter. Christ is risen indeed. And because he is risen, we too can rise with him. There is no other Savior besides him. No other Savior besides him. I close with these words: but now Christ is risen from the dead. Christ who died, Christ who was buried, and Christ who rose again and lives forever. Amen. Let's sing together our closing hymn, Crown Him with Many Crowns. And as we are singing this, ask yourself these words from the hymn. Is he the Lamb upon the throne of your heart? Is your soul awake? Are you singing of him? Is he the Lord of your life? Is he the one who died for you to bring you eternal life? Let's sing together. And as we are singing, let's make this our prayer as well. Hymn number 288, Crown Him with Many Crowns.